experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show here on 1320 WILS. In this segment, we're going to talk with a gentleman down in Loxahatchee, Florida, who is involved in fish farming and can tell a horrible story of what has gone on because of the cold weather that we experienced in Florida this year. Many people hear about the cold and they think about the effect on the citrus crops and the other items, but what a lot of people don't know here in mid-Michigan is that in the tropical fish world, almost half of the tropical fish sold nationwide actually come from Florida. So when we have very bad weather, it can affect things very badly. We're going to talk this morning with Michael Breen from Breen Acres Aquatics in Loxahatchee, Florida, and talk about just what an impact this cold weather has had on the overall supply of aquatic fish in the Florida area. Michael, am I correct in understanding that as a result of the cold weather snap we've had this January, that you lost almost 100,000 fish and almost $500,000 in inventory that has died because of the weather?
Yes, that's correct, during this cold snap, yes.
Wow, was there anything that you could do? I mean, I would imagine that something like this just happens, and is there any protections that you can do, or are you just at the mercy of Mother Nature?
Well, not necessarily. Of course, we can manipulate what we can, but for short periods of time, a lot of times we'll cover our ponds with plastic, and that'll create a thermocline between the water and the plastic, as long as you can keep a space there. And that would be good for 3 or 4 days of what we just went through. The other thing that we do is, prior to a cold spell, we can reduce the volume in our ponds, pump them down. We have 76 ponds, all individually aerated and with water, on our 10-acre farm. So we were able to pump the ponds down about halfway prior to the cold snap, and then flooding them with our well water, which comes out about 77 degrees. That, too, works very well for 3 or 4 days. But what we experienced was unprecedented. The cold not only lasted, we were below 45 degrees for 11-plus days. And that's devastating enough. The water temperature, when the water temperature gets to 60, we begin to lose fish. When it gets below 50, there's very few fish that will be able to survive that for long periods. And that's what we encountered. We also had 3 nights where it was below freezing. So it was a tough one.
Yeah, Michael, this is Rick Pruse.
Hey, Rick.
How you doing, buddy?
Good,
what I'm wondering is, you've been a fish farmer now for 14 years, I believe.
Yes.
How unusual was this event? Because, you know, we hear about cold weather hitting Florida from time to time, but is this a common event?
Not a common event. We did have a cold snap last year in 2009, and that hit us pretty hard, but we were prepared and we were able to save some of our brood stock. This is unprecedented. You know, there are a lot of fish farmers that have been doing this for decades who say they've never seen anything like this in Florida. We were blessed in the regard that we were a little bit further south of the Tampa area, and so the Tampa is a real large portion of the tropical fish farm, and if we were to be as affected adversely as we were, the reports out of Tampa are just as bad, if not worse.
Yeah, and that's what you and I had chatted a little bit. For the listening audience, they're probably not too familiar with fish farms and the tropical fish trade. How does it spread out, and why is it that Tampa is this heaven of tropical fish farming?
Well, the way the fish farms are 5 to 10 acre family run farms. There are a few very large farms. They tend to be farms as well as wholesalers, but the preponderance of tropical fish farms are in the Hillsborough County area or Tampa area, and they're set up in 5 to 10 acre plots typically, as ours is, and there are holes literally dug in the ground, so they're earthen bottom ponds, and they all have air and water plumbed to them underground. So from there, the fish are raised. You know, the pond is spoiled or soured, so to speak, infusoria bloom, and we breed the fish either in tanks or vats, and then move the babies out into these new clean ponds. And then we harvest them. We bring them in when they're sellable size, and we clean the pond out and reset it. The reason that most of the fish farms are in the Tampa area was because a few successful farms started a long time ago in that area, and their close proximity to Tampa International Airport was a big draw. And at the time, the land was very inexpensive. So,
I've been to Florida, and it definitely seems like a hotbed of tropical fish. I mean, you go down any little country road, and from time to time, you run across these fish farms. But it has changed over the years, has it not?
Oh, when I started, there were over 200, and I think it was 225 or so family-owned and operated farms in Florida. I think we're barely over 100 now.
Wow. And I've been down there, and I chatted with you about 5 or 6 years ago, and I know things were, you know, it was kind of one of those situations where it was a little tough, and yet you were still punching through it. But I know you from a long time ago, and for the listening audience, Michael Breen was a fun young youth that worked at her store when he was a kid, and I mean, when he was 16 years old, he was kind of netting up tropical fish. I also know that when you were younger, a bit younger, you know, it was one of those times when you were kind of trying to figure out where you were and where you fit in. So maybe to kind of pull this out of the sombers of all this doom and gloom, and we can get more on how the Florida fish farms recover from all this and where you go from here. But maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, why you're in this business, and maybe go back a little bit in time and kind of see how you meandered from the occupations that you fell into, and why you're in the tropical fish farm. And in spite of this bad stuff, you know, tell us why you're going to keep punching through and make it happen.
Okay. Well, a little bit of my history is obviously I started in East Lansing, and I worked for your mom and dad for several years, and grew up in the East Lansing area. I went to Lake Superior State and then got into the alcohol beverage industry in Lansing with Spadafore Distributing. And I stayed in the alcohol beverage industry for 15 years. That brought me into the Caribbean, to the Virgin Islands, where I lived in St. Thomas for about 4 years, all the while having the passion for fish. When I lived in St. Thomas, I was blessed to live on the ocean, and I would catch all of my own fish, and I had aquariums throughout the home. And that was just a real joy of mine. That was a real great passion. Well, my son was born, and we realized the island wasn't the place to raise him. So I was working with E&J Gallo Winery at the time. They transferred me up to the Pembroke Pines, Miami area, and I was the director of cruise line sales for E&J Gallo Winery at that time. Well, I didn't like the area so much. It was very congested. And coming from Michigan and then spending time in the Caribbean, Fort Lauderdale really wasn't for us. So we went to a Publix supermarket and picked up a Holmes magazine, and we opened it up and saw a 10-acre fish farm with a log home and pine trees and palm trees. And that just sounded like heaven to us. So I don't know if I did the right thing every day, but I'll tell you what, it was a passion, and it still is for us. And just honestly, the main reason that we really went for it was how many children really are raised on farms nowadays. And I have two wonderful children, and my girlfriend has two wonderful children, and the four kids are growing up on a fish farm. And to me, that really means a lot. That says a lot.